3 John, and we're going to read there verses 2 to 4. 3 John, verses 2 to 4. I want to talk to you this morning about how to be spiritually prosperous. How to be spiritually prosperous. If you don't have a Bible, share a Bible maybe with somebody near you. 3 John, verses 2 to 4. Let's stand together and read these scriptures. 3 John, verses 2 to 4. You can pick any chapter you want, but we'll read verses 2 to 4. The Bible says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper." I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What an awesome statement is made here by John. And he's writing unto a good friend, someone he loved dearly, named Gaius was his name. And he says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Obviously, he was somebody who was physically sick at the time. Physically, he was not doing well. Physically, he must have been a sick man. But he says, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. What a good thing could be said about that man, that here was a man whose soul was prospering. Whose soul was prospering. You know, a lot of people in this world, they're worried about prosperity. They're worried about prospering in their work or prospering in their wealth, prospering in their home, prospering in the things that they have. But how many people are worried about prospering in their soul, prospering spiritually? And that ought to be our greatest desire, that not just, you know, well, I want to prosper in my health, I want to prosper. And a lot of people are concerned with that too, you know. Well, do everything possible because I want to have great health, but are they making sure that their soul is prospering? Or I want to be successful with money and successful in business or successful in a career, but are they making sure that their soul is prospering? And I just want to talk to you about that for a little bit this morning, how to be spiritually prosperous. How to be spiritually prosperous. Don't be concerned about the other and neglect what is really the most important of those, and that's being prosperous spiritually, making sure your soul is prosperous. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'd guide our thoughts this morning to focus our hearts and minds upon you. Help me to say what you want me to say, not say anything I should not say, but guide my thoughts, guide the words, and fill me with your spirit, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you again on this thought of how to be spiritually prosperous. You could go to the library, you could go to bookstores, and you could find all kinds of books about how to do things. How to clean practically anything, how to build a treehouse, how to shop for the best toothpaste, how to stay healthy and fit for life. How to work only 20 hours and make $10,000 a week. How to become a multi-millionaire in 2 years and never have to work again. I mean, you could find how-to books on everything. Because they want you to be successful. They want you to be able to do this. They want people to be wealthy. They want people to be healthy. And think all these, and these are things that appeal to people. And so we can find the how-to for everything. Well, we've got a book right here that teaches us how to be spiritually prosperous. Wouldn't that be good? I mean, you ever get, you know, funky emails or something, you know, how you can lose 40 pounds in 2 weeks and, you know, be a size 2. How can you make $10,000 in a day? How can you, you know, how to be spiritually prosperous? How to be spiritually prosperous? I just want to give you some very simple truths from the Bible today about how to be spiritually healthy, how to be spiritually fit for the rest of your life. I want to give you some Bible principles concerning that, how to be spiritually prosperous. How to be spiritually prosperous. First principle this morning is this: if we're going to be spiritually prosperous, we need to confess and forsake our sins. In Proverbs chapter 28, why don't you look at it with me there? Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13. How are we going to be spiritually prosperous? How is God going to make our soul to prosper? First important principle. first important step, the first ingredient in the recipe, the first thing that we need if we're going to be spiritually prosperous is to confess and forsake our sins. Confess and forsake our sins. In Proverbs chapter 28, and there in verse number 13, the Bible says this, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Listen, truth is, we can never hide our sin from God. He knows everything about us. If there's sin in our life that we will not confess, though, and we refuse to make it right with the Lord, how can we expect God to bless us? Think about it honestly. How could we expect God to bless us as believers, as His children of God, if we are willing to live with sin in our lives and we don't want to make it right with the Lord? I mean, if we, as God's children, who would stand here and probably most of you, if not every one of you, would say today, "I know I'm saved, I know I'm a Christian, God's forgiven my sins, I'm on my way to heaven." That'd be your testimony. But yet, if we as a child of God have sin in our life that we're hiding, sin that we refuse to confess, sin that we refuse to forsake, and we as a believer now don't want to make things right in our heart between us and our Heavenly Father, between us and the Lord, how can God prosper us and bless us? In 1 John 1 and verse 9, it gives us a great assurance. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We cannot be spiritually prosperous if we will not confess and forsake our sin. The word forsake means to abandon. The word forsake means to abandon. The word confess means to agree with God about our sin. We need to agree with God about the wickedness of our sin. Agree with God about the sin that has wronged Him and that hurts Him and that disappoints Him, and get it right with Him. Be willing to forsake that sin. As God's children, we know that we're supposed to walk in newness of life. Look with me over at Romans chapter number 6. And Romans chapter 6. And look down at verse number 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. You found it, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans 6 and verse 4, it says there, actually let's go back even to verse 1. Romans 6, 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that it's so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the same way." No, that's not what it says. "Even so, we should walk in newness of life." Walk in newness of life. Listen, God wants our lives to be different. Should we continue in sin that grace would abound? God forbid, it says. We're to walk in newness of life. We're to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Even as a child of God, listen, we should confess our sins to God and make it right with Him, and then forsake our sin, abandon our sin, leave it behind us and run away from it and live for Christ. What sort of sin should we confess? What sort of sin should we confess? Number one, we should confess the sins of doing wrong. Number one, we should confess the sins of doing wrong. And I got a second one. We'll break it all down into two categories. Confess the sins of doing wrong. And number two, confess the sins of failing to do right. Number one, confess the sins of doing wrong. And number two, confess the sins of failing to do right. When we've done wrong, when we've done something that we would know, the Lord tells us we're not supposed to do that, we are breaking God's laws and we've done wrong. We've sinned against God. Confess those sins of wrong that we've done. Confess the sins of failing to do right. When we know that there's things God tells us to do and we don't do it, the Bible says that's sin. "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Sin. It's sin. when there's things we know the Lord would have us to do and we don't do them, what is it? Sin. Sin. We have to admit it as sin. It's just as wrong as the wrongs we've committed. When we refuse to do what God wants us to do, it's sin. When we don't pray, it's sin. When we don't read our Bible, it's sin. When we're not kind to others, it's sin. Isaiah 59 and verse 1 and 2. You look there with me in the Old Testament, Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says here, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Certainly we should confess our sins. And the Bible says that our sins of doing wrong, they hinder God from answering our prayers. In other words, you cannot be spiritually prosperous if there's unconfessed sin in your heart. If we cover our sin, we will not prosper. If we hide our sin, we'll not prosper. We've got to confess our sin and forsake our sin and make things right with the Lord, because I need the blessings of God. I need God to answer my prayers. And I won't have God's blessing, and God won't answer my prayers if I live with unconfessed sin in my heart. The same is true with you. You cannot be spiritually prosperous if we will not confess sin in our hearts and lives. We should confess our sins. We should confess the sins of doing, failing to do right. When a child of God hears the truth, he becomes responsible for that truth. When you hear the truth, when you read your Bible and you learn when God says this is what he wants us to do, we're responsible then for that truth. When you sit in church and you hear that these are things that God wants us to do, God wants us to witness, God wants us to be faithful, not forsake the assembling of ourselves, or God wants us to tithe, or God wants... When we hear the truth, we become responsible for that truth. How in the world can we be spiritually prosperous if we won't obey God, or when we live in sin and we will not confess it and forsake it and make it right with Him? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you have not been doing what you know the Bible commands you to do, you better confess it to God as a sin of disobedience and make it right. Determine to do what you know you ought to do. If you've been convicted about what the Bible says about baptism, confess your sin and obey the Lord in believer's baptism. Now, we are supposed to be obeying God and doing the will of God from our hearts. There are some things we ought to be doing to obey the Lord as believers, as followers of Him. Take those steps of obedience. If you've been convicted concerning the need to pray and walk with God, confess it to Him and determine to daily walk with God. If you've been convicted about the command of God's Word to be a witness for Christ, then confess it as wrong and as sin and get involved in spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be spiritually prosperous? How can we be spiritually prosperous? The first thing, the first principle that I want to lay out for you, the first ingredient in the recipe is that we must confess and forsake our sins. God cannot bless. God can't answer prayer. He can't cause us to be prospering spiritually if we won't confess and forsake our sins. That ought to bother us. We want to make us have things right with the Lord. How can we be spiritually prosperous? Here's principle number two. Surrender to the Word of God. Look with me over at Joshua chapter 1, if you would, in the Old Testament. Joshua chapter number 1. After the first books, the books of the law, the books of Moses, we'll find the book of Joshua there. The book of Joshua. Joshua was a great man, a godly man. He was one of those that did have faith in God. Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies that did want to enter into the promised land and did want to obey God. God allowed Joshua to live past those years of wandering in the wilderness and to be one who would see the promised land. And he wanted to lead the people to follow after God and live for God. And in Joshua chapter number 1, he gives them some advice. Joshua chapter 1. And let's begin looking there at let's go right to verse number 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, over the Jordan River, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. God says, Joshua, as you're going to lead the people now into the promised land, you've got to follow me. You be of good courage. You trust me. He says, I want you to meditate on my word. I want you to make sure you meditate on the scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. Obey the word of God. Turn not from it. Don't deviate from it. Turn not to the right hand. Turn not to the left hand. Don't forsake following the word of God in your life. Principle number two, surrender to the word of God. Surrender to the word of God. God tells Joshua, I'll make you very prosperous. Every place you walk upon will be yours. No man will be able to overtake you for the rest of your life. But God says, there's just one thing, Joshua. I'll make you very prosperous. Joshua, I'll make you a good success, but there's one thing. I want you to follow my commandments. I want you to follow my word. God tells him, if you'll read my word and study my word, if you'll meditate on my word, if you'll think about it day and night, and you'll follow it and you'll do exactly what it says, then Joshua, listen to me. He says, I'll make you very, very prosperous. And God would. Joshua is a man who we read later in the book of Joshua 24 verse 15, where he says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was somebody who tried to seek God and know God and surrender to his word and follow God's word and obey God in his life. And God made him to prosper. God made that man to prosper. God made him a blessed man. A successful man. A good success. We likewise ought to determine that we're going to follow God's word. We need to yield ourselves to God's word. We need to read God's word. We need to study God's word. We need to surrender ourselves to God's word. We need to think about it every day. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Heed it. Obey it. Surrender to the word of God in your life. If you want to be spiritually prosperous, meditate on the word of God. If you want to be something else prosperous, something else successful, you'd meditate on those things. You know, the people who want to become a great golfer, they probably meditate on things. They read things. Nowadays, they probably maybe watch some YouTube videos to learn how to be a good golfer. They may get some golfing lessons. They may read some books, you know, golf magazines, and they learn things. And they watch golfers and probably watch real intently and real closely all about their swing. And they're focused on that, and they kind of give themselves to that. You want to be successful at making money, you would try to learn everything you could about it. Listen, you want to be prosperous spiritually? Do you want to be successful spiritually? Do you want God's blessing upon your life? Then determine that you'll surrender to God's word. You'll follow God's word. You'll meditate on God's word. You'll give yourself to God's word. How are we going to be spiritually prosperous? What are some of the ingredients? What are some of the principles? Number one, confess and forsake your sin. Confess and forsake your sin. Number two, surrender to the word of God in your life. Here's the third principle. Number three, be steady despite the circumstances. Be steady despite the circumstances. Listen, God does not promise the Christian a life of ease. The Christian life is not going to be a life where you'll never have a difficulty. The Christian life is not going to be a life where you'll never have a burden. I mean, you'll never have a trial. Nothing will ever go wrong. You'll never get sick. You'll never get hurt. You'll never be offended. I mean, everything you do with money will just be a booming success. God doesn't promise that everything about your life will be, you know, just perfect. Never a difficulty, never a problem, never a heartache. I mean, your children will be perfect. They'll never give you a problem. They'll never talk back to you. He doesn't promise that, you know, all those around you are going to be perfect. They'll never say anything to hurt you. They'll never do you wrong. No, that won't happen. The Christian life will not be a life where you won't have a trouble or where you won't have some burdens. But thank God if you've been saved, you've got a Heavenly Father that loves you. He cares about you and He can help you through those difficulties. When you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, He will walk there with you and even carry you. When you've got trials, the Lord Himself, listen, He's with you. You're saved. You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Comforter. Thank God, if you've been born again, the Comforter is with you even when your heart is broken. God loves you and He doesn't leave you alone. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. He said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." You've fully known all that. You've seen it all, Timothy. But he also goes on and says this. Here's something else that Timothy had seen. Timothy, you've seen the persecutions and the afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, he tells Timothy. And then in verse 14 he tells him, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. What was Paul saying? Be steady in spite of the circumstances. Be steady despite the circumstances. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I want you to turn back with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. What was Paul telling us to do? Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He was telling us, be steady despite the circumstances. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 39 about a man named Joseph. About a man named Joseph. Joseph was a man who was steady despite the circumstances, wasn't he? Earlier this year, I was reading through the book of Genesis and so on. And so, studied the life of Joseph. Genesis 39 there in verses 1 to 5. Look what it says. Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer of his house and over all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. What was it about Joseph that was prospering? Was he prospering materially? Was he prospering physically? Was he prospering in wealth? No! He had just been betrayed by his brothers. They wanted to kill him. Eventually decided, no, let's not do that. Let's sell him into slavery. We'll send him away. We'll never have to see him again. He didn't have nothing. He didn't have a title. He didn't have money. He was being sold as a slave. And now he's becoming a servant down in Egypt. Foreign land. What was it that people noticed about him? He's prospering. He was prospering. I guarantee he was a man that God was giving him, blessing him with wisdom. God was blessing him with joy. I guarantee he was a man that had a good spirit, good attitude. He was steady in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the trials that he was being put through. Joseph was steady and God made him to prosper. Joseph ended up being wrongfully accused by Potiphar's wife and being put in prison and being all forgotten about. But if you know the story, what happened? Joseph was steady and God still made him to prosper, even in prison where he became ended up being put above the prisoners. Many of the other prisoners. He was given a higher position. Through it all, we continue, could go through Genesis. Joseph was steady in spite of the circumstances. And God made him to prosper. How can we be spiritually prosperous? Confess and forsake our sins. How can we be spiritually prosperous? Surrender to the Word of God. How can we be spiritually prosperous? Be steady despite the circumstances. How can we be spiritually prosperous? Principle number 4, take a stand for God. Take a stand for God. In Daniel chapter 6, it tells us the story about a man who certainly took a stand for God. King Darius set Daniel as his top president above all the princes of his kingdom. You know, there was a system where there was some presidents, three presidents, and Daniel was considered to be the top of those presidents, and many princes, you know, overseeing the land, and governors of the land, mayors over the land, that sort of thing. But ones that had real responsibility from the king. King Darius sets Daniel. He was one of God's people too. Yet there in Babylon, King Darius set Daniel as the top president above all the princes of the kingdom. The other men became jealous of Daniel and they tried to find fault in Daniel. The wicked men tried to see if there was any way that Daniel was disloyal to the king. We've got to be able to find something. Surely there's something that Daniel is doing. Surely, you know, in his position of elevation, he must be doing something wrong. Maybe he's not paying his taxes right. Maybe he's stealing in some way, taking advantage of his position. There's got to be something we can find, some dirt we can dig up on him. Kind of the way people dig for dirt on politicians. It's election time, right? They were digging for dirt. But this incredible thing, they could find no fault in Daniel, the Bible says. For as much as he was faithful, the Bible says, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They couldn't find anything wrong. They determined that the only way they could get him would be for his faith in God, and they came up with a plan. They went to the king and told him that they had an idea for a new law. They told King Darius that he should make a law that no one could ask anything of God or any other man other than the king. They couldn't make a petition to anyone else except to the king. The king thought, oh, that's a good idea. And so he signed the royal decree. He had no idea that they were trying to get Daniel. Daniel hears about this new law. Daniel knew that the punishment for breaking the law would be that they would be cast into the king's den of lions. But the Bible says that Daniel continued to do just like he did before. He continued to pray each day. He continued to pray. Unashamedly, he continued to pray just like he did aforetime. And he took his stand for God. The wicked princes spied on Daniel to watch and see what he would do, and they saw him praying to his God. They ran to the king and they said, King Darius, didn't you make a decree that no one in the kingdom could make a petition to anyone else other than the king? Yes, I did. We saw that man, Daniel. We saw him. We saw him praying to his God. The king agreed. He'd made the law. They reminded him, oh, it's a law. It can't be changed. It can't be altered. They told him about Daniel's praying 3 times a day. And the king's heart was broken over this because he did dearly love Daniel. But the princes told King Darius they must throw him into the den of lions. And so the king sent for Daniel to be brought and to be cast into the den of lions. A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. The king couldn't sleep that night. The Bible says that King Darius went with haste to the den of lions in the morning, and the king cried aloud down into the den, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel answered back, O King, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Daniel took his stand for God, and you know what happened? God took care of Daniel, didn't he? Daniel took his stand for God, and God took care of Daniel. God made Daniel to prosper. We might think sometimes, there's no way. I mean, I can't take my stand for God in this society, in this workplace. I couldn't pray over my lunch. What would other people think about me? I couldn't lay it out that, no, I'm sorry. I can't work on Sundays because I got to go to church. I couldn't do that. You know, everybody's got to take their weekend shifts. I couldn't do that. Daniel took his stand for God. And God still took care of Daniel. God made Daniel to prosper. I'm sure that Daniel probably outlived all the men. We know he did. He outlived all those that tried to get rid of him. The last verse of chapter 6 says this, so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God made Daniel to prosper. He was prospering in many ways, but you know where he was prospering most? Because his soul was prospering. He was prospering spiritually. As he took his stand for God, God blessed him. How can we be spiritually prosperous? How can you and I be spiritually prosperous? Number one, confess and forsake our sins. God can't bless us. God can't answer our prayers. God can't make us to prosper if we try to hide sin in our life. Don't want to make things right with the Lord. How can we be spiritually prosperous? Surrender to the Word of God. Are we surrendering to it? Are we obeying it? Are we heeding it? Are we meditating on it? Are we following it in our lives? If we're not, we cannot stand and say, my life is blessed of God. No, it's not. It cannot be a life that's blessed of God if we are refusing to confess sin in our life. It can't be a life that's blessed of God if we are not meditating on God's Word and not following on God's Word. There's lots of people in this world that people would look at and say, they're successful, but they're not a good success, like Joshua 1:8 says. I want to have good success. I want my soul to be prospering. I want my spirit to be prospering. I want to be someone that has the blessing of God. How can we be spiritually prosperous? Confess and forsake our sins. Surrender to the Word of God. Be steady despite the circumstances. And take a stand for God. Here's the last thought. Number five, stay planted in the right place. Stay planted in the right place. Look at Psalm chapter number one. Psalm chapter one, and that's where we'll finish. Psalm chapter number one. How will we be spiritually prosperous? Stay planted in the right place. Stay planted in the right place. In Psalm chapter one, and beginning there in verse one, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosper. A tree cannot bring forth good fruit unless it stays planted in one place. You know, when the wife brings home the tree from the garden center and she plants it in one place, that looks nice. I think I want it there.
But then the next week she looks at it and says, no, I don't think I like it there. I think I'd prefer it over here. And she moves it over here. Next week says, no, I don't think I like it there. Let's move it over here. And they keep digging it up and moving it from here to here to here to here to here to here. It's not going to prosper. It's not going to prosper. It needs to stay planted. It needs to stay planted so the roots can grow. It needs to stay planted so it can be productive. We need to stay planted. God's people will only be spiritually prosperous if we stay planted in the right place. Your spiritual life will always struggle if there's a constant change, constant moving, constant wavering. You better stay planted amongst godly friends. You need to be planted amongst godly friends. You need to be planted in your walk with God, that you don't waver from that. You need to be planted in the Word of God and spend time in it. You need to be planted in your place of prayer, that you have a time and a place to pray. You need to stay planted in your place of service to God. You need to stay planted in a Bible preaching church. These people that are just constantly from one church to another church to another church to another church to another church, it's not going to help them. You need to stay planted in a Bible preaching church. Stay planted in a place where the preacher loves you. Stay planted in the Bible. Stay planted in a place that preaches the truth. Plant yourself in the right place and stay. Let your roots grow strong and deep. Determine for yourself, I'm not moving, I'm not changing. Plant yourself in a prayer closet and stay. Plant yourself in the Word of God. Plant yourself in the right church and just stay. Stay. Do you want to be spiritually prosperous? Do you want to be spiritually prosperous? Do you want to know the secret? It won't come in your spam email box. Do you want to know the secret to being a great success? To being spiritually prosperous? To being blessed of God? Here's the how-to. Here's the how-to. This holds the secrets. This holds the principles.
How-to. Confess and forsake your sin. Surrender to the Word of God. Be steady despite the circumstances. Take a stand for God. And stay planted in the right place. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Word. Your Word, God, is our how-to manual. Your Word, God, is what gives us the secret to be a good success. It tells us how we can be spiritually prosperous. And oh God, as children of God, help us to be far more concerned with being spiritually prosperous than we are with being financially prosperous. More concerned with being spiritually prosperous than we are with being physically healthy and prosperous. Lord, help our first concern to be that our soul is prospering, that spiritually we're prospering, and we have lives and homes and families that are blessed of God.